So there have been some pretty major cuts that MCCH has had to make recently. Can you give me a brief overview of the changes that you're making at the hospital?
Yes, absolutely. Just starting back in the October time frame, we looked at our strategic plan with the Board of Trustees, and we knew that there were some declining volumes out there, and of course the impact from the Affordable Care Act, as well as the state Medicaid challenges that we're having right now. I had to make some adjustments based on that workload, and one of those included an action that took place this week, which included layoffs of 28 employees. And you said major cuts. Actually, it's a kind of a minor cut. It's 2.8% of our total workforce. And this would give us a projected savings of about $1.4 million to $1.5, maybe $1.6 million to close out this fiscal year over the next 7 months. On top of that, we also did a 5% cut in all the staff's pay to ensure that we didn't lose any more of our valued employees.
So you mentioned that the Affordable Care Act and some of the Medicaid stuff going on within the state had prompted this. Can you kind of expand on that a little bit and just tell us what's really going on with the ACA that's affecting the hospital to the point where you're having to cut back on employees?
Well, the real challenge, I think, from an Affordable Care Act perspective is, you know, there are some positives with it. It's driving an additional quality and responses to improve our quality, which is fine. I think the other challenges that go along with that is really trying to keep patients out of having to go and see their physician. That I think is a challenge. And I said it from the standpoint of it's not always about wellness focus. There's always that acute care focus that you've got to have. And I'll give you a couple examples from the federal perspective. Just last week, or actually 2 weeks ago, 1st of March, we didn't stave off. You know, let me roll back. You go back to December, there was a lot of hubbub surrounding the budget sequester, and the budget sequester really laid a couple things on our future that were challenging. The first of those being a automatic 2% across the board cut for Medicare. And the Affordable Care Act is trying to control costs, and there's nothing wrong with that, but a 2% cut for this hospital that would have begun in January would have cost us about $1 million. Budget sequester, the 2% Medicare cut, that actually got pushed off to the first, that decision was pushed off to the 1st of March, and that actually happened. So I guess that fiscal cliff, at least for healthcare, you know why that's concerned, went ahead and happened. Now that 2% to me represents about between $650,000 and $700,000, and that's a tremendous amount of money for a small hospital like ours to absorb, you know, over a 7 month period from here to the rest of our fiscal year. Let me talk about Medicaid real quick in the state. In 2011, our governor put in a policy that three managed care organizations, which would come into the state, would manage our Medicaid program. That began in November 2011. The program, since its inception, has been wrought with challenges. It has created problems for hospitals for cash flow. It has created problems with patients on obtaining care. And I think that's a tremendous challenge that we've all had to deal with. For me personally, in this hospital, I used to run on accounts receivable. That means dollars that I would receive for the hospital for treating Medicaid patients. Somewhere on any given month would be about $766,000. Today, Shelley, that number has climbed on a monthly basis to $3.4 million. That's how much money we are still owed today from those managed care organizations out there that have been trying to help the state out. And, you know, that's untenable. I mean, that's nearly a 500% increase if somebody's just doing some really quick math there. So I think that's a tremendous challenge for any small facility like Murray Calloway County Hospital to absorb. Last year, we took care of 4,000 individual Medicaid patients here at this hospital. And we want to provide the care. All we're asking is really be paid for the care that we're providing.
And so with these bills basically not being paid, what's the future of the hospital look like? Is this something that you see a solution coming up to, or is it solvable at all?
Well, I think it is. It's going to take some involvement from our legislature, state legislature. I know our local representative and our local state senator are working very diligently on a couple of proposals out there to help hospitals. For instance, House Bill 5, was recently put through the House, and it went through with a vote of 99 to nothing. So 99-0. And what House Bill 5 was designed to do was to force the managed care organizations, those three out there, to basically pay hospitals promptly. And it's not just hospitals I'm speaking to, Shelley. I'm also speaking to the physicians. We're all in this area, literally, if not hundreds of thousands, for the smaller organizations to, like mine that are in the several millions that are owed to us by those managed care organizations. This would require them to have to basically be monitored by the contracts that they signed by the, from the state. And that just really hasn't happened. I mean, it doesn't take a math genius to sit in a room and say, gosh, how come your accounts receivable have climbed from 766,000 now to 3.4 million? It doesn't make sense to anybody. And you know, I've done what I could, done what I continue to do, is I've even had one of the managed care organizations' CEOs in my office this week and saying, you know, help me explain this. Help me understand why cash is not flowing to my hospital, and I'm not the only CEO of a hospital here in the state that's having this problem. The Kentucky Hospital Association have tons and tons of complaints from the 131 hospitals we have in our association. And to date, just to give you some raw numbers, $1.366 billion, and I will say that again, $1.366 billion have been paid by our state administration to these managed care organizations. And to date, roughly, and I'm giving you numbers that were to date as of the end of or middle of December, they had paid out $833 million of that. Well, the quick math will tell you there's about, you know, half a billion or $533 million that has not been dispersed to hospitals or to physicians out there. And that's really hard to explain.
And so you said you had met with them. Did you get an answer on why you were having a problem getting the money from the MCOs?
No, got no answer whatsoever. Just obviously a look of concern, and they agree with the concern. It really comes down to their numbers against our numbers, you know. And unfortunately, my perception is from our state administration that they really feel comfortable that they balanced the budget, and because we've balanced the budget, then it's really not their problem.
And so is this something that other states are having a problem with as well, or is it an effect of going to the privatized MCOs?
Well, I think some states are having greater success with Medicaid managed care. I think one of the problems that has been a stated problem since the very inception here in Kentucky boils down to the fact that we tried to roll this out in about 5 to 6 months. The successful states did it in 18 months to 2 years. They took a lot of time to ensure that their procedure manuals were correct. They took a lot of time to make sure their patients were educated. They took a long time to make sure their contracts were, you know, acceptable. I mean, I literally got down to the last portion of September and was, I won't say forced, but I was nearly forced to sign a contract with these managed care organizations. And I mean, that was the pressure that I was getting from the state. And it shouldn't have been that way. I mean, that's not how a good business offering has to work. It should be a negotiation as opposed to, you know, kind of a captive audience, and this is what you need to do.
And is part of the reason why it was you were having a problem with negotiating these contracts that, you know, this is an independent hospital, community hospital, rather than part of a larger chain?
I don't think so. I think it boiled down to each of the contracts were negotiated individually. So to avoid collusion, I couldn't make a phone call up to, let's say, one of our competitor hospitals in Paducah and ask them what they were getting for rates. I couldn't ask them what they were, you know, what their contract said. That would be a violation. So I certainly wasn't ready to go to jail to do that. So each one of these contracts were negotiated individually with all 131 hospitals, with all physician groups, with all behavioral health hospitals. And it took a long time to do. And to think you're going to pull that off in 5 months is really, I mean, that's optimistic, should I say. And I think it fell short of what we were trying to do. So if we had more time, I believe, and I do believe we'll make it work. It just may be, a couple of years down the road before we finally get all the bugs ironed out.
Mr. Penner, I thank you for joining me.
I appreciate it, Shelley, you giving me this opportunity to talk.